الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The title of the khutbah is What After Hajj, as in how are we going to be after Hajj. And before I elaborate on the translation, never mind. He said in the past few days, the Hujjaj have concluded their an act of worship amongst the greatest acts of worship in Islam, and means of seeking nearness to Allah, among the greatest means to seek nearness to Allah. They have abandoned their soul clothing at the miqat, and their tears were shed and while standing at Arafat, out of shame due to their sins and their errors. And they were all beseeching Allah in poverty to Him in various languages. And then they moved on to Muzdalifah to remain there and stay at night. Afterwards, the people in groups went to stone the Jamarat and then do the Tawaf around the Kaaba and the Sa'i between the Safa and Marwa. And the Hujjaj return afterwards happy with what Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon them of His bounties. Then he quoted the ayah in Surah Yunus, wherein Allah said, "Say concerning the bounty of Allah and His mercy, let them be happy. It is better for them from that which they accumulate." He said, "Yes, the Muslims have given farewell to this great event, the Hajj event, and people are happy that they have fulfilled this great obligation, and to Allah belongs all praise that He aided them in doing that." The question which we should ask ourselves is then, what after Hajj? How would the condition of the slave be after this Faridah? Are the people going to return to the state they were in before Hajj? Is the conduct of the believer going to change from evil to good, or from good to better? The Hajj is an opportunity to be reborn. And the Hajji must repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive to make this Hajj an opportunity to rectify his deeds. Allah said, "And turn in repentance to Allah, all of you, all you who believe, perhaps you will be successful." And He said, "All you have believed, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. Perhaps your Lord will expiate for you your sins and will permit you gardens under which rivers flow, on a day where Allah will not disgrace the Prophet and those who believe with him. Their light will be illuminating between their hands and on their rights, saying, 'Our Lord, fulfill our light and forgive us. Verily, you're able to do all things.'" The Shaykh said, "It is a major mistake that the person thinks that the seasons of obedience are mere chances to only cut down on sins. And then when these seasons are over, they return to their state of transgression. And then he no longer longs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the believer should know that at all times, these seasons are there to improve the condition of the Muslim and to keep it upright and strive in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The Shaykh went on to say, "Here's your Lord calling on you to remain steadfast on His deen and to respond to Him and His Messenger and to have taqwa of Him the way He deserves it and to worship Him the way He deserves it from the time you're born until the time you die. Allah said, "Oh, you have believed, have taqwa of Allah the way He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of Islam as Muslims. O you of Allah, O you whom Allah has honored by allowing you to go and do Hajj. O you who stood up at Arafah while millions of Muslims around the world wish they could be in your position. After all this, after this great bounty from Allah, we have a few things to discuss. The first matter is, remember the greatness of Allah's bounty upon you. Which means, irrespective of our many sins and great disobedience, yet Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, blessed us by allowing us to stand between His hands. And that He allowed us to seek forgiveness and to seek guidance from Him. And then He blessed us by facilitating for us Hajj, through which one's sins are forgiven. So how bountiful He is of a Lord, single and unique. And how great He is of a Lord who's forgiving and merciful. He doesn't have a wife, nor does He have any children. The second matter is, how does the believer show gratefulness to this divine blessing? Allah says, "Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan." Is the recompense of goodness or excellence anything but excellence? So you must be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal in the state of repentance to Him. And shukr, or being thankful, is not merely something you say with your tongue, as many people think, by saying Alhamdulillah or Ashukrulillah. But the truth of the matter is that it is a condition in the heart and the actions of the limbs. And we can take a couple of examples from Allah's commandments and Allah's statements to the prophets. For instance, Allah said to Ali Dawood, "I'malu ala Dawood shukra, ala Dawood shukra." Then do good deeds, O Al of Dawood, or people of Dawood, Dawood and his family, shukra, as means of thankfulness to Allah. I'malu. So there's amal with the shukr. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. However, a minority among my slaves are truly thankful. We ask Allah to make us among them. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ, as you all know in the seerah, he used to pray until his feet would swell. And it would be said to him, "Why do you do this to yourself, O Messenger of Allah?" When Allah has overlooked your previous shortcomings and the future ones, he said, "Should I not be a thankful slave?" So he's teaching us here that his means of thankfulness was praying at night. It wasn't merely saying something with the tongue. There was an action as well. The third matter is, the acceptable Hajj has signs. As you know, no one has any guarantees. But there are signs. Al-Hasan al-Basri, one of the greatest tabi'een, rahimahullah, was asked, "What is al-Hajj al-Mabrur? What is a righteous Hajj?" He said that you return from Hajj being ascetic toward the dunya. Asceticism, as in you're not interested in something. You kind of just turn away from it because it's insignificant in your eyes. Looking forward to the life to come. And let your Hajj be means of protecting you from anything which will destroy you. And prevent you from anything which will destroy you. And it will be means for you to do all kinds of good and to engage in all kinds of acts of worship. And know that the believer does not cease to do good deeds until his time comes. Until, you know, the time of his death. So this was the observation of Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. So if we come back from Hajj without having this kind of inclination or this kind of feeling, that means that Hajj may not be accepted. Obviously, during Hajj one can tell already whether he is being facilitated towards goodness or whether he is being facilitated towards evil. And if you ever go on Hajj or if you've been on Hajj, you see that wal-iyadhu billah, people, some act worse than they would act outside Hajj. And we've heard and people seen, you know, during Hajj, people were fighting and fist fighting in the haram, in the tawaf, fist fighting, beating each other up. And in Mina, people were beating each other up. I saw it with my own eyes. A boy bleeding from his nose and his mouth. His own brother beat him. His own brother beat him. This is Mina. And in Arafah, the last half hour before Maghrib. This is the, يعني, if you've been lazy since after you pray Dhuhr and Asr, Jama' and Qasr. And you, there's a wisdom behind combining the prayers, by the way. Because in Mina, you don't combine the prayers. But in Arafah, you do. Because you're supposed to dedicate this time to Ibadah. The last half hour, you're running out of time. Somebody brings ice cream. Strawberry ice cream. And you go outside, and you find that 70% of the people spend the last half hour eating ice cream and drinking tea. Yeah, Sheikh. You can do this anytime, ya akhi. Ice cream, 1 riyal. 1 riyal. If Allah diverts you from doing ibadah and dua at this moment to go eat ice cream, wallahi, this is a sign. That Allah is not interested in your dua at this moment because there's something not good. And you see many people doing this. At the last half hour, the last hour, they get busy with something you think will be the least important thing in your life. Who cares for an ice cream right now, man? And you go talk to them. Say, ya akhi. You say, half an hour left. Say, okay, Zakallah khair. Keep eating ice cream. Allah musta'an. So there are signs. During Hajj, after Hajj. Fourthly, you should always reflect on the acceptance of deeds. And this is a matter concerning Hajj or any other act of worship. How many people actually pay attention to whether their deed was accepted or not? And who has a guarantee from Allah that his deed is accepted? Allah describes for us the affair of the righteous believers by saying, and those who put forth the deeds which they put forth while their hearts are trembling, that to their Lord they shall return. Aisha radiallahu anha, and the next, I'm sorry, the next ayah says, it is those who hasten fil khayrat, in good deeds, and they are the forerunners, and they are the first and foremost to perform them. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are these the fornicators, adulterers? Are these the thieves? Are these the drunkards who, you know, who do good deeds? And yet because of these sins, they're afraid Allah, they're afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, no, Bint Siddiq. This is the person who prays, who fasts, and he gives sadaqah, yet he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this is their condition. Doing all these good things, yet they have this fear. Which is something we need to reflect upon, because many people don't look at it this way. They brag about their good deeds. They brag about the things they have done. And they want to get, you know, praised for them. Even though with Allah Azza wa Jal, they may not be accepted. It's one thing when the people praise you when you don't want the praise. And it's another thing when you want the praise and you don't deserve it. At any rate, you shouldn't want the praise. But if Allah decreed, because they say this is عَاجِلُ بِشَارَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about the person whom the people, you know, appreciate and things of the sort. He said this is the early glad tidings for the believer. Meaning this is a good sign for him. But you shouldn't be looking forward to that. Because it is worthless. Whether people recognize it or not, they praise you or not. The idea is, did Allah accept it or not? If everyone on earth praised you and Allah didn't accept the deed, is that going to benefit you Yawm al-Qiyamah? Absolutely not. So it doesn't matter what the people think. What matters is, did Allah accept? And so this is something which we should reflect on often. The deeds, are they accepted or not? No guarantee. Now the Shaykh said, I'm not trying to make you despair from the mercy of Allah. As in you worry that nothing is accepted. No, you have good assumption about Allah. But you have to be mindful of that idea. You have to ask Allah Azza wa Jal acceptance. And you know, look at Ibrahim and Ismail. They were doing the most righteous deed among the most righteous. They're building the house of Allah, which the people will utilize for ibadah until the end of time. And they are the prophets of Allah, the messengers of Allah, chosen and blessed. And they're saying, Rabbana taqabbal minna. They were begging Allah to accept their own good deeds. So what do we say about ourselves? Then he quoted an interesting incident that happened with Muhammad bin Wasi'. Muhammad bin Wasi', this was an amazing man from the Salaf. Really amazing. If you hear or you read some of the quotations or some of the things which are attributed to him, he will amaze you with his wisdom and intellect and depth in understanding. One time he stayed up at night praying. And he kept crying the whole night. So his own neighbors weren't able to sleep. Yani he was crying all night, preventing himself from sleeping, and the neighbors were disturbed by his crying as well. So when the Fajr came around, his neighbor spoke to him. He said, take it easy on yourself and on us. Take it easy on yourself and take it easy on us. By Allah, we did not sleep last night whatsoever because of you crying. He told them, Wallahi, by Allah, every time I would put my feet in the place of ibadah where I want to stand up for prayer, I would imagine that Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, calling me and saying, O Muhammad, do whatever you will, I will not accept anything from you. And so this, you know, he was just worried that what if Allah doesn't accept any of my deeds? And so he kept crying all night. He didn't even pray. This was just the idea that would come to his mind. So then what do we say about ourselves? Allah al-musta'an. Allah al-musta'an. We do a little bit of things and we think, khalas, it's all guaranteed. But this is not the case. So the Shaykh ended the khutbah by saying that you should fear Allah Azza wa Jal at all times. And remember that Allah says in the Quran, verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the pious and the righteous. Allah only accepts the deeds of the pious and the righteous. In the second khutbah, the Shaykh said, what would be the benefits of the Ummah if every Hajj returned, whether male or female, as an upright individual in his society? Naturally, this will have a positive influence on the whole community. So the one who used to smoke before Hajj, and don't ask about smoking during Hajj, because smoking during Hajj, perhaps some people do more smoking than dhikr. I mean, they go, some person is saying, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, and the other one is puffing. And you find that the one smoking is bothered by the talbiyah of the man. You know, lower your voice. You know, you're disturbing my mood, my smoking mood. And somebody will save money for 10, 15 years to go do Hajj, and then their Hajj is nothing but backbiting and smoking and throwing their trash in the way of the Muslims and harming people. Jahil, ignorance. Total ignorance and waste of time and effort. Had they learned the rites of Hajj, when people go to Hajj, they don't know anything about Hajj. They ask you the most silly questions. Silly questions, which means that he didn't even read anything. Said, doing Hajj ifrad, and he's saying, Akhi, do I have to wait for my hadi to be sacrificed for me to shower? Akhi, you're doing ifrad Hajj, there's no sacrificial animal for you. That's what ifrad Hajj means. If you were doing Qiran and Tamattu' then you have hadi. The whole thing about ifrad is there's no hadi. Did you even read anything before you did Hajj? You just want to figure it out as you go along. It doesn't work. Then he asks four different people, he gets four different answers. And then how is he going to do Hajj? Seriously, everybody has a position. This person follows this imam, and this one that imam, and this one that mufti. He doesn't know anything. He can't even get an answer in his Hajj. Can I do sa'i before tawaf? Some people say yes, some people say no. Can I stone the jamarat before? Some people, you can't stone jamarat. Other person said, he went to pray Fajr and went to stone jamarat. Actually, said, brother, I stoned shaitan at 7 o'clock. Which shaitan did you stone? You think shaitan, when they build a second row, a second floor, the shaitan split himself and went upstairs? Then when they build the third one, he kept moving along with these, ya sheikh. And if shaitan was there, he would have died many years ago. He's been getting stoned from 1400 years. What's the damage you have inflicted upon shaitan? There's no such thing. It's dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah, that's it. It's symbolic that shaitan tried to mislead Ibrahim. But there's no shaitan now in the jamara. It's a jamara, it's a pillar. You stone it, end of story. 7 o'clock in the morning, it's unacceptable. That's like trying to pray dhuhr at 10 o'clock in the morning. You have to wait until zawal. Many different things that indicate there's no studying. The Shaykh said, the one who used to smoke before Hajj, did he leave smoking after Hajj? Let alone if he left it during Hajj. The one who used to deal with riba, has he left riba and started earning halal? The one who used to commit abhorrent sins, did he do tawbah to Allah and leave it? The one who used to wrong the people, did he stop himself from wronging people again? Whether it is eating their wealth, or dishonoring them, or harming them, or any form of dhulm and oppression. And say concerning that, say the same thing regarding any sin. Have the people actually changed after Hajj? Because this is a sign of acceptance. It's a sign that the Hajj was accepted, that you don't want to do the same things you used to do before Hajj. If you're just, it's the same thing, it means the Hajj wasn't accepted, wallahu alam. What are the benefits the Ummah will gain if every year these thousands and hundreds of thousands of Muslims return as upright individuals in their society? What kind of influence would they have on the people when he returns in the state of purity? The father with his children at home, the haji in his office with his co-workers, the teacher with his students in school, and the merchant with his customers in his store. And the things which you do, everyone, whatever he does on daily basis, the actual benefits for the ummah will be, you cannot even count them. You cannot even count them. Even if we were able to accomplish half of, or even quarter of that, it will still have a huge influence on the ummah in general, if everyone who returned from Hajj will be upright. But he said that the truth is, this is not the case. The truth is, it is nothing for some, it's nothing but a journey. For most, it's a journey. They go and they come back. And nothing, you know, real is established. Nothing real. Otherwise, the enemies of Islam would have been extremely concerned about this Hajj, because it's a place of assembly for all these Muslims on a yearly basis. If it was properly utilized, they'll be very much afraid. They will try to hinder the Hajj for the Muslims. But they know, unfortunately, that people don't take proper advantage of this Hajj. And so they just let it slide. O Ummah of Muslims, the wounds of the Ummah are many and deep. And the nations which are trying to destroy the Muslims are many. If we do not benefit from this Hajj, then these wounds will become even more. They will have more wounds and deeper wounds. And the pain, a single pain will become pains. And a single loss will become many losses. That the Hajj season goes by, and we do not benefit from it the way we're supposed to benefit from it. And then we should know that we need to change. Because Allah said explicitly in the Quran that verily Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. We have to make the effort to change, for Allah to change our affair. And so he made dua at the end of the khutbah for the Muslims, for everyone. So, Jazakum Allahu Khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.